If anyone wants to, the Maamar Kama is available. If anyone wants to show their faces, only it'll give a little. No one should feel an achrayas too, but it'll give it more of a feeling of a shabbos hakadol drasha. So, but again, don't feel. I understand people are have whatever reason. Another cheshbon is going on. Okay, so somebody recording.
That's all, yeah, we're recording. Okay. We're recording.
Okay. Okay, so I'd like to try to go through a sugya tonight, which is definitely a Pesach sugya, no question about that. Definitely justified as a Shabbos HaGadol drasha, but it's a sugya that really touches on a lot of different issues related, particularly to inyanei brachos. So there are many nekudas that are going to come up that are relevant to halacha lemaisa, even not only as relates to chametz proper. Let's begin the sugya. Those are following along with the Maamar Kamos. The first of the Maamar Kamos, it's a Gemara in Pesach B'Zayim and Aleph. Before a person performs b'dikas chametz, so one is required to recite a bracha. So to us, that may seem like a milsa de pshita, like it's obvious. Well, why would anyone think otherwise? So that's really a big question on the Gemara. Why would one have thought otherwise? Like, if the Gemara does not have to tell us that every mitzvah that you do, you have to recite a bracha, it's understood. Chazal v'mesakim birchas ha-mitzvahs. Now, the truth is, there are a few mitzvahs here and there that we don't recite brachas on, and there are different reasons that are given for those mitzvahs, but the starting point is clear that whenever you have a mitzvah to do, either a mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah derabanan, it requires a bracha. Mitzvahs derabanan are actually a little bit trickier, and that's the famous Gemara in Shabbos Chav Gimel, vis-a-vis Neres Chanukah, where why one would have thought that maybe mitzvahs derabanan don't warrant a bracha, because how can you say with a straight face, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu? But the Gemara takes care of that also. We'll saw some of the different answers for that are. When it comes to Nikas Chometz, the Gemara just makes a flippant statement. I'm going to be the Boitzach Shivarach, and the Rishonim are puzzled with what's the Chiddush. Why would I have thought that the Nikas Chometz is any less of a mitzvah? So the Rosh and the second of the Maamar Kamos gives us, it's really a Hoshea Klolim. The Gemara says we could spend the entire night just talking about this Rosh, and we've got the rest of the Maamar Kamos. The Rosh gives you an entire, across the gamut of the first Perek of Pesachim to fill you in on why you would have thought otherwise and why the din is that you do. So comes the Rosh and says, don't think, not such a great mitzvah to do B'dikas Chometz. Why is it not such a great mitzvah? All you're doing is getting rid of Chometz. So I would have thought, that's not such a mitzvah. What's the grace of mitzvah? What's the great mitzvah getting rid of chametz? I'm still in the world of havaminas. I don't think, are you supposed to be doing that? Isn't that what the halacha requires of you? Doesn't the Mishnah say, all the boss are baking us a chametz? Now, again, there are different reasons why we're doing b'dikas chametz, according to some rishonim to prevent owning chametz, and according to some rishonim to prevent eating chametz. Whatever the lomdus is, tachlis, that's, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. So then what in the world is the rush mean? What is the meaning of that statement that the Eina Elavaris of Chometz Ben Abayis? The first time I ever heard this rush, so I heard it from Adam Gadol. Many of you have heard me quote him in the past. It's Rabbi Mordechai Marcus, first year it's coming up shortly after Pesach. So I had this chus of Lurim, I said this Pesachim with him back in high school. So I remember when he quoted this rush, so he was very, very puzzled with this rush. What's the Chiddush? What does it mean, Eina Elavaris of Chometz Ben Abayis? Marcus suggests that it's based on a theory that actually appears in the Tosfos, the Maseches Chulin, where Tosfos points out that there are a lot of things that we do for quote-unquote religious purposes, for halachic reasons, that we don't recite brachas on. Let's say, for example, when we kasher meat. You know, most of us don't think about kasher meat. I had, just as an aside, we had a fascinating discussion. This Shabbos, I don't know how we got onto this discussion, but the Shabbos table today, we're talking about kasher meat, or we're talking about which meats are saltier than others. So I said that kosher meat starts out with being salty because you have to kasher meat. So we were talking a little about kasher meat. So one of the children at the table, I won't mention which one, didn't even know there was a concept. Forget about not knowing how to kasher meat. They didn't even know that there's a concept of kasher. That's right, the next diet. That's right, the next generation, one foot further removed. You know, a grandparent's generation, they knew how to kasher meat. They could do it in their sleep. Next generation knew at least that you have to kasher meat. Now nobody even knows. You buy only or you meat. So whatever had to happen. So believe it or not, tell your kids there's this concept called kashering meat. So Tosfos writes, when you kasher meat, you don't make a bracha. But you have to do it. You don't make a bracha. The Torah says, you know, we don't make a bracha because it's not a positive thing. It's simply to avoid Isurim. I'm doing an action that the halacha requires to prevent me from doing something wrong. You don't make a bracha on that. So perhaps that's what the Rosh is saying here as well. I would have thought, B'dikas chametz is nothing. There's nothing positive to B'dikas chametz. B'dikas chametz is a mitzvah that we have to do to prevent Isurim. Again, whether the Isurim are the chashash of owning chametz and Pesach, whether the Isurim are gezeir shemiyav aliyachli make up to eat the chametz and Pesach. At the end of the day, the goal of B'dikas chametz is almost negative in nature, so it wouldn't warrant a bracha. So what's the chiddush? Atacha, why do you make a bracha? What's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda? So the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is as follows. That even though the rationale originally was for negative, but tachlis, Chazal instituted it as a form of mitzvah. So even though I'm doing it originally to avoid Isurim, but Chazal transformed Zahirus from an Isur into a mitzvah, like Moshe Bo Adav Adoyma. Why do we wash the Tilsidayim for? The Tilsidayim was to prevent certain Isurim and Gezeris and the Rebbe of Truma. So therefore, we wash the Tilsidayim. It's a mitzvah of the Rebbe to wash the Tilsidayim. So why do we make a bracha? What's the difference between wash the Tilsidayim and Kashri meat? The answer is that sometimes Chazal instituted, they turned an Isur into a mitzvah. Because to prevent you from violating an Isur, they required of you to do a certain Maaseh mitzvah. So B'dikas Chametz is closer in the model to Netilas Yadayim than it is to Kashri Mi. And that's the Shach B'Tayim, that's the Havin of the Gemara. I would have thought there's no bracha because it's only to prevent the Nisr, Kalash Falun, it's the bracha because it really is more than that, it's actually a mitzvah bracha. So the Rosh says, good, so now at least we understand why we would have thought you don't make a bracha, we understand why we do make a bracha. But now the Rosh is very, very bothered because when the bracha is recited, it seems to be at the wrong time. The Rosh continues in the second line. U'mash ein mevorachin al bi b'shach hanishis. When you do a B'dikas Chometz, you're not really doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is really going to be done the next day. It's going to be done in the Shah Chamishis, in the fifth hour, when you're removing the Chometz and you're getting ready, you're burning your Chometz. Now, everything's a little bit thrown off this year. So I'm going to use the words, you know, Erev Pesach, I'm going to use the words, Yudalid. So please don't get confused and think the rabbi just told you to light fires this coming Shabbos. So I'm just, for simplicity, let's make believe for a second that it's not Erev Pesach to Shabbos. So comes the Rosh and says, the correct time of reciting the bracha really should have been B'shas HaBiyur. Because you have to rule of U'mitzah B'na Torah. It's not a possible Chumash. There's a mitzvah to get rid of the Chumash. And Yom HaRishon, we know the Torah Shavah Peh explains to us, that means an Erev Pesach. So if you have a choice to recite a bracha on some newfangled mitzvah derabanan called B'dikas Chometz, that's the night before, where you can make a bracha when you burn the chometz, which is a deraisa. It sounds like a no-brainer which one you should choose. Why don't you choose for the deraisa? Listen to the Rosh, it gives you a whole shtick of Torah. Omer Ani, says the Rosh, Deotzos chometz v'rabai is kodos mani surei lo nafim v'tashmisa. Says the Rosh, tomorrow morning, Erev Pesach, at 11:30 in the morning, when you get your fire, when you take the chometz out of your house and you go to burn it, guess what? That's also not a mitzvah. This is also nish tashbisu. Why is it not tashbisu? The Torah says, "Mayom arisha tashbisu." Nah, damar Rabbi Akiva liel tashbisu by the sreifa. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda happen to be of the opinion that tashbisu means you have to burn the chametz. Well, tzivsa Torah the sarfel achash ben esar. So the Rosh writes that the dinim of sreifa and the dinim of beer, that's after the chametz is off. That's after chatzos. We did have a noisar. We got a complicated story. Just like you burn noisar after it's noisar, so do you burn chametz after it's noisar. There's no mitzvah satari to burn chametz at 11:30 in the morning. The mitzvah derais is after 1 o'clock to burn it. I said, why do we jump the gun and do it an hour and a half earlier? We do an early sreifa. We chazal sorfa b'tchilas sheish. The Mishnah says in Pesachim that the right time to burn it is an hour before chatzos. That's chazal wanted you not to leave the chametz around until after chatzos because all kind of complications. But you're not really doing a mitzvah. So the Rosh turned the tables on us. The Rosh thought in his kasha, the real mitzvah is the burning, and the bedikah is somehow the watered down version. No, the other way around. The sreifa is garnish. That's meaningless. That's nothing. You have to do it, but that's not really the mitzvah per se. Then Chazal wanted you to do it earlier to avoid Bayra. The real mitzvah, the Rabbanon, is on the night of Erev Pesach. That's the mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz. So the Rosh had a few havaminas, a few maskonas. Havamina he started out with was no bracha at all in Bedika. Kamash v'lon there is. Then he said, why are we making the bracha now? Make it tomorrow. Kamash v'lon, we make it now at the Leil Bedikas Chometz. Now the Rashi has the bob cash, $1 million cash. So im kvar as kvar, if you're already making the bracha at the time of the bedika, so why are you making the wrong bracha? What are you making the wrong nusach for? Make al bedikas chometz. If you're making the bracha before you burn it, zolzayim, so you make a bracha via chometz. But we don't do that. For this whole razzle-dazzle reason, we don't do that. Says the Rosh, so why do we make the nusach bracha? Why do we change the nusach bracha in a sense? We, Chazal, why did Chazal institute the nusach bracha al via chometz if we're doing is really bedika? Says the Rosh for the following reason. Since Allah happens to be for other reasons, after you finish bedika, you have to say bitul chametz, kol chamira. That's the first of the kol chamiras that we say. That's the one that's bedika the Gemara. The fact that we say a second bitul the next day is a whole other story, not for now. But bedika the Gemara, both it's actually avatel. So says the Rosh, when you're doing bitul chametz, that's already, that's the beer chametz. That's the destruction of the chametz. Beer means, Rush continues, that the chametz you don't know about, you're mevare through bitol, and you hold on to for tomorrow for the fire, the chametz that you do know. The ochel ben atshachamish, you eat tomorrow morning to the beginning of the fifth hour, az mevare ben abayis, then you can remove it. Now, esek zen nigra ha-bracha shabadim. Now, she tchilu sabi ha-benigma v'shachamish. Says the Rosh, the reason why it's okay to recite Alviyah Chometz at the time of Bedika is because the bracha is going on the bittul. So the simple pshat of the Rosh is that the beer tomorrow morning, or basically in the morning, doesn't really get a bracha. That's not the real bracha. The real bracha is on the Bedika / Tchilas HaBir, which is already accomplished the night before. That's the real goal. The fact that I'm about to do Bedika, I'm about to do a bittul, those two actions together, it's appropriate for me to recite a bracha already at that point. So the Rosh had a lot of chidushim, a lot of explaining to do. Why there's a bracha in the first place? It's not just to prevent the isurim, but it's actually a mitzvah per se. Why isn't the bracha tomorrow? Isn't that the more important part? And the answer is no, that's too early. That's before chatzos. There's no real mitzvah. So why is the nusach bracha al bir chametz? It should have been al bedikas chametz. So the answer is bittul saves you, because bittul is already the tchilas habir, and it's appropriate to recite the bracha. So again, I told you the Rosh is the whole Sheikh Lali. It's got three kashas, and you say this. So comes the Ran, and it's also bothered by some of the kashas of the Rosh, but seems to address the concerns of the Rosh in a very, very different way. So comes the Ran, the third Imam comes, Abayi Tzor Shivarach. So the same pizman as the Rosh. Vim Toimar, Pshita, the lama lo yivarech? Kishem shum yivarech ala mitzvahs klulin. Same question the Rosh asked. Why would one have thought not to make a bracha? So the Ran says, yesh lemar. The hakom hashvalon, the afal gav de bir chometz ikra mitzvah. Says the Ran, you know what the real mitzvah is? Tomorrow morning. Remember, but the Rosh just laughed away. The Rosh just said, tomorrow that's nothing, that's garnish. No, says the Ran. That's the real mitzvah. Says the Ran, since you're starting the process now, so okay, we'll let you make a bracha now. What's pshat in the Ran? The Ran's learning when the Gemara says about tzech shivarech, it's not a chiddush that you make a bracha on bedikas chametz. According to the Rosh, the chiddush is that you make a bracha altogether. According to the Ran, that's not the chiddush. Everyone knows that. The chiddush is when you make the bracha. It's not that you make a bracha. It's when you make a bracha. And the explanation, the Bir Hadover is that it's really a chiddush that you make a bracha the night before. It really doesn't make any sense. The bracha should be b'shas reifa. But, since you're starting, you're ready now, so you can make the bracha now. Says the Ran, but the nusach ha-bracha makes sense. It doesn't make sense to make abedikas chametz, because that's not the goal. The real goal is the Bir HaChametz. So we have almost two different ideas developing between the Ran and the Rosh, two very, very different takes on almost like what's the Ika, what's the Tafel. The Rosh is like almost like negating a little bit what's happening tomorrow. The Bir Chometz, the Sreifas Chometz is not up there in the world of the Rosh. What's really happening of real significance that actually justifies the Bracha according to the Rosh is the twofold action of of bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz slash bitul chametz, it's those two things together that really, really gets the bracha in place. Whereas according to the Ran, everything is really tomorrow. And that's why the nuscha bracha is al bitul chametz. And the only reason why almost like nebuch, we get the ball rolling a little bit early, because you know, it's the tchilas abir, so to speak. That's when the process is beginning. Okay, so we nebuch, we came to mascha, but I'm just thinking of varach aleha. But if you want to know what the real action is, says the Ran, the real action is tomorrow. The chorid is a major machlokes here. Potentially, you have a serious ramification of the halacha. Is our eye on tomorrow, or is our eye on what we're doing right now? So the Ramah, the fourth of the Ramah Kavos, quotes a very, very famous minig. Ramah Nochus Pesach Simba Tafla Bedal, Tafla Bedeis, in the fourth of the Ramah Kavos, V'noyegim L'niach Psise Chometz, V'mokam Shiyim Tzeim HaBoydek. There's a custom to put out some small pieces of bread so the Boydek will find. K'dei Shlo Yeh B'chos L'Vatolo. That it shouldn't be a chashash of a brach L'Vatolo. So the Ramah quotes us already from a little bit earlier poskim. What does that mean? What do the words mean? It should be a bracha batala. Aren't they doing a mitzvah? B'dikas chametz? What is a bracha batala? Who said anything about finding chametz? So the chora, those early poskim who instituted this minig, sticking bread all around the house, because they were worried lest I don't have anything to destroy. They didn't like that model. You should end up not having something to burn. And what's so terrible? I'm going to put the bed for care. What if the bother making a fire? I don't find anything that's even better. Not so simple. So if you hold like the Ran, that the real action is al-smach tomorrow, the real mitzvah is the beer is the shrei for tomorrow, and we just never kind of snuck in the bracha now because it's the tchilas abir, then the minute makes a lot of sense. So then, wait a second, if tomorrow's not going to happen, you know what, I mean, tomorrow hopefully will happen, but the shrei is not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen because you didn't find anything. So then you have to scratch your head 100 times and say, wait a second, was I justified in making a bracha? Maybe I shouldn't have made a bracha in the first place. So to ensure that a sreifa happens, because according to the Ran, everything is al-shem al-soif. It's all al-shem goyber. It's all al-shem nebir. If the beer doesn't happen tomorrow, then we have a huge issue of bracha levatola. So the minute makes sense. But the Ramah rejects the minute. The Ramah writes, umiyu imo nasa lo ikev. It's a phrase, amazing. Okay. Lo nasa lo ikev. Says the Ramah, if you didn't put out the bread, nishka failach. Why? The das kalada be my bracha levayim imsa. Because when you're making a bracha, so you have in mind, if you find something, matayv, and if you don't find, nishkefelach. Why nishkefelach? It's very kefelach. It's terrible if you don't find anything. But the answer is no. According to the Rosh, you couldn't kill us if we find tomorrow. Tomorrow is nothing anyway. The burning of the chametz tomorrow is a big joke. It's before chatzai, says no mitzvah anyway. The real beer that's taking place, kedas uchadin, is the bedika with the bittel, or whatever's happening tonight. That's what really matters, says the Rosh. What's the difference whether I find or not? So I'm doing medika, wonderful. And I'm doing bittul. The bittul is dafka for things I don't find. So therefore, it would appear that according to the Rosh, there's really no source for the spinning. There's no rationale for the spinning whatsoever. Whereas according to the Ran, I can begin to understand where the spinning Yisrael came from. Yet I'm not attacking the middle. We also put our bread from Medika's comments, but at least get a little bit of better understanding what the source is or is not for this. But the minig, of course, only makes sense if you're making a bracha. For whatever reason you're making a bracha, then it's kind of hard to defend why you would be putting out bread. I think Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Yitzchak Shivarach, you have to make a bracha, right? Doesn't everybody who's chametz require a bracha? Not necessarily. So there exists a concept in halacha of possibly doing a b'dikas chametz without a bracha. How can it be? If it's a mitzvah, how can I do the mitzvah the Rabbanu without making a bracha? So you have to move on to the next Rambam comes, the fifth Rambam comes. Amar Yehuda Marav. If a person is going out on a is going on a boat, going on a cruise before Pesach, or is Yotze b'Shayara, he's going on a caravan to the middle of the desert. Tachas is not going to be home. Bottom line is he's not going to be home for Pesach. So what happens? If he left on the trip more than 30 days before, then there's no requirement to do B'dikas Chametz. But if he left within 30 days, then he has to do B'dikas Chametz. The Gemara has a whole machlokes is what that means, and finally the Gemara concludes, Ela Marav, the Gemara qualifies what that means. Hada Amos Kadim Shleshi Yom Zav Levar, that which we say, if a guy left the Chanukah time, he doesn't have to do Bedika. Lo Amar Ela She'ein Dait Alachzor, that means he's not planning on coming back on Pesach. But Dait Alachzor, the guy's planning on coming back for Yontif, but for Mersha Shodet Zav Levar, he's got to do Bedika's Chomet from 6 months before also. So comes Rav and says, there are really two factors that go into deciding whether you are obligated in Bidikas Chametz. Tachlis, if you're going to be in the house on Pesach, you have to do Bidikas Chametz. I don't care if you're left Leshavuos. You have to do Bidikas Chametz if you're going to be in the house on Pesach. If you're not going to be in the house on Pesach, then there's a difference between within 30 days and before 30 days. Within 30 days, you still have to do Bidikas Chametz. More than 30 days, then you don't have to. So it seems like when all the dust settles in the sugya, there are multiple potential times for Bidikas Chametz. There's normal Bidikas Chametz. The guy was home, and I'm leaving out this year, obviously everything's on the 13th, but leave that out. No, let's not confuse ourselves with the dates. There's normal Bidikas Chametz. The fella's home. He's home on the night of Yudalid. He's fulfilling what it says in the Mishnah. Or la bos abaykir zechametz eraner. Then you recite a brach. That's I mean, we spoke about it for the last 20 minutes, but that's the din. I'm going to review the Rav, but it's Tokshin Baruch. That's easy. Then you have these complicated B'digas Chometz. You have a guy who's not going to be home, but he's doing B'digas Chometz anyway because he's leaving a week before Pesach, so it's within Shloshim Yom. So he became a Chuyiv B'digas Chometz ready within Shloshim Yom Karim Chag. So he's doing B'digas Chometz even though he's not going to be home. Then you have another guy who left 6 months ago, but he's got a return ticket for third day Chol HaMoed. So when he left 6 months ago, he also did B'digas Chometz. So we have one guy doing B'digas Chometz on Leil Yedalad, like he's supposed to. You have another guy that Halacha says does B'digas Chometz a week before Pesach. And you have another guy who does B'digas Chometz on Chanukah. And each one of them are doing what Halacha tells them to do. With a bracha, without a bracha. So comes the sixth of the Mamre Kamos, the Ritva, back of the page, Ritva Pesachim says, the Das of Ra'azal, the Chol Shezach Levam Vrach Labiur, says the Ra'ah, any time you do B'digas Chometz, whether you're a Yedalit person, whether you're a week before Pesach person, whether you're a Chanukah person, you have to make a bracha. Why? Because each one of the above is obligated in the mitzvah of B'digas Chometz. So each one could say with a straight face, what's the difference? You have three different chayuvim, but the mice they're all chayuvim. There are three different times, but it's all the mitzvah of B'digas Chometz. Everyone's got to make a bracha. Says the Ritva, he disagrees with his Rabbi Dura. The Niran Advarim Tach Lavid Yom Dafka says the Ritva, no, you only make a bracha if you're checking within 30 days. If you are one of the guys who left Chanukah time, but he has a return ticket for a third day Chol HaMoed, B'digas Chometz you have to do Chanukah. But I guess you can use a Chanukah kettle. Make sure you don't use the same kettle for both. It shall be Nen or Haner. That would be a remind me this one for Chanukah. Remind me to Shaila about can you use the same candle that you enter in there as Chanukah and use it for B'digas Chometz for the guy who's leaving with the Shleshim Yom before. That's a whopper, but not for now. So comes the Ritva and says he doesn't think the Ra'ah is right. The Ra'ah went too much. He said, says the Ritva, if you do B'digas Chometz within Shleshim Yom, so then Bracha makes sense. If it's before Shleshim Yom, then not. But why not? But you also have to do B'digas Chometz. You're obligated to do B'digas Chometz, so why no Bracha? So I remember Marcus that told us that Mistama, what the Ritva means is as follows. Remember when we started the sugya, we said, the name of the Rush, that the only reason why I make a bracha B'digas Chometz is because it's not just Lavor, Shul Lavor Isurim. There's a mitzvah sasei also. It's a positive mitzvah. So you're making a bracha, it's not like kashering me. It's like Netilas Yadayim. Marcus suggested, the Dasa Ritva, that which the Gemara says, if you're leaving Chanukah time, and you're planning on coming back, you still have to do B'digas Chometz. That's not a mitzvah B'digas Chometz. What a mitzvah? I can have a mitzvah B'digas Chometz. It's more than Shloshim Yom Kedem. Before 30 days, the Yotzev doesn't register. You can't be Yetzin mitzvah al hayom before 30 days. What's the nature of that requirement? It's a chiyuv gomer to do it. That's a din to prevent Yisurim. How could you leave your house with a straight face on Chanukah knowing you can come back Chol HaMoed Pesach and have Chometz all over the house? You can't do that. That's going to be by Rabbi Motz. It's going to be Shem Yom Aliyach. All the problems behind B'digas Chometz are forcing you to solve the problem before. But it's not a mitzvah. That's a kashrut meat. So you can have two different people doing B'digas Chometz. One guy's doing B'digas Chometz Kedasu Chedin on Chanukah because he's planning on returning. The other guy's doing B'digas Chometz Kedasu Chedin a week before Pesach and he's not planning on returning. One guy makes the bracha, one guy doesn't make the bracha. The guy who's doing it within 30 days, even though he's not returning, he's mechuyev b'derabbanan B'digas Chometz because it's within Shloshim Yom. Even though the reason doesn't really apply to him, doesn't matter. Look, he's mechuyev to do B'digas Chometz. So his chiyuv is b'taras mitzvah sase b'dirabbanan. He requires a bracha. Whereas the other fellow is doing b'digas chometz 6 months earlier in Hanukkah, his b'dik is only shlolav risurim, and that taka doesn't warrant a bracha. So we started out, there were three scenarios of b'digas chometz. We have We have the fellows doing it the right time, the right place, the right structure. Yud Dalet in his home, he for sure makes a bracha, not a shayla. Then you have a guy who is on the 10th of Nisan, but he's not home. So everyone seems to assume he makes a bracha also. Both the Ra'an and the Ritva, who he makes a bracha. The Machlek is the Ra'an, his Talmud, the Ritva was, the guy was doing B'dikas Chomet 6 months before. But comes the Ramah in the 7th of the Ramah Kamos and comments on the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Mefarish B'yabash L'yam Ayotz B'shayara, the Eidim Aniyach B'vesi B'shayim Doktor Shalashim Yayim. The person is leaving on a trip and there's no one else can do the B'dik of him. If it's within 30 days, he has to B'dik his Chomet. Zokhter Ramah, V'lo Yivorech Azal B'ya Chomet. Ramah quotes from the Kolbo, one of the late Rishayim. We don't know who it was. The Kolbo was one of those anonymous phantoms. I'm not sure exactly what the Mechaba was. Different ideas. The Ramah writes, you don't make a bracha. Why not? You're mechuyev to B'dik his Chomet. Why don't you make a bracha? So comes the Mishabura quotes, when you do B'dikas Chometz on the night of Yedale, then it makes sense to make a bracha. Why? Because on a regular year, you do B'dikas Chometz on Yedale, you put a couple of pieces that you find, you put it away for tomorrow. Tomorrow you're going to burn it. Then we can justify making a bracha on B'dikas Tchilas Abir. I'm not gonna. A guy does B'dikas Chametz a week before. He's not burning that Chametz. He's gonna take the Chametz with him. The Rosh is not, the Mishabur is not assuming that a guy's gonna schlep his Chametz with him on the plane, on the train, on the boat. I remember once a guy called me years ago, a guy called me frantic. He's getting on a plane on Erev Pesach. And he's carrying his chametz with him because he was planning on burning his 10 pieces of bread when he arrives in Chicago, wherever he was going to. The plane got delayed, and now he's walking around with a bag of chametz walking onto a plane that's going to land after this manissa. Very, very good strategy that the person had. So he wants to know, can he flush it down the toilet? I said, the plane may self-destruct. I don't know what's going to happen to I can't speak about the plumbing systems in the plane. I don't think they're going to be thrilled with 30 guys flushing down the challah rolls onto this flight. So I strongly recommended not to take the chametz with you on the plane. I would rather throw in the garbage in the airport and mevatel and shine rather than start relying on you to go burn the chametz an hour and a half from now after this madness. Anyway, so the question is, says the Mishnah Berurah, when you're doing B'dikas Chometz not on Leil Yedaled, it's not really going to lead into a Sreifa. It's not going to be a real bona fide Biur. The Biur is going to be absent a week from now. So that's a concern. You can't make a bracha. Why is that a concern? Why can't I just make a bracha now on the B'dika? There's a throwback to what we spoke about, that according to the Ran, that the Iker B'dika is really not the Iker B'dika. The B'dika is really Hashem the Biur. And if there's going to be a break, an interruption between the B'dika and the Biur, then it makes sense not to make a bracha. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gra, this idea that you don't make a bracha. Perhaps there are other reasons why the Ramah's minig is, but the mice, that's the Ashkenazi custom. I don't know what the Sfarim, I'm not sure what the Sfarim do about this. The Ashkenazim do not make a bracha on B'dika's Chometz unless it's Leil Yedaled. So basically, the person goes away, and the B'dika's Chometz that they're doing is in the house, so even though they're mechuyev to, unless they figure out a way to circumvent it. That's been previous shiur and previous Gilgulim. And then again, anyone who's going to do Mechir Yitzchametz with us who's going away. So we'll try to explain that to you along the way. We call it quote unquote Mechir Yagimel, but we'll keep you posted on that. Anyone has any particular question before they fill out the form, please feel free to call me about that. But the bottom line is, the Ramo writes, the custom in the Ashkenazi communities is not to make a bracha unless it's Leil Yedaled. So we have three different shittas now. When do you or do you not make a bracha? According to the Ra'ah, Kol Shetzoch Levar V'Varach Levir. You make the same bracha you make on Yedalin, and you make the week before, and you make 6 months before as well. According to the Ritva, you only make the bracha that's within Shloshim Yom, and according to the Midrash, the Ramah, and the Kolbo, it's only Mamish Ramish Leil Yedal. So we have a little bit of an understanding of making the bracha, why I'm making the bracha, why I would afford not to make the bracha, why I make the bracha, when I make the bracha, etc. So I made the bracha ready to Zozan, I made the bracha. Can anything go wrong once I made the bracha that could potentially require me to make another bracha? Is it always one bracha per customer? Or can a person mess up in such a way that he may actually be required to repeat the bracha? So there's a famous Gemara Maseches Benochas in the 8th of the Ramah Kamos that according to some Rishonim had input on this sugya, Not necessarily. So take a look. The Gemara is discussing the brachas on tefillin. So the eighth and the Rambam comes. Avai v'Rava d'Amit Shavai. Both Avai and Rava agreed. Lo sach v'varach achas sach v'varach shtayim. When you put on tefillin, so if you didn't talk, like you're not supposed to talk between the Shoyah and the Shirosh, then you make one bracha. If you did talk, then you make two brachas. So the famous machlokes, anyone who's probably ever been in a bar mitzvah has probably heard this drasha at one time, one of the most popular bar mitzvah drashas. This and the kiddush turns bar mitzvah in the middle of Svira, whether you know anyone who goes through a bar mitzvah during Svira, no doubt has heard that one. So there are just certain drashas of the year that just, you know, no matter where you are, these are the drashas. So this machlokes rashi in the Talmud, the Gemara says that if you didn't talk, you make one bracha. Does that mean you make one bracha for both? That's Rashi Shita. Does that mean you make one bracha on the Shel Rosh? So everyone agrees that if you talk between the Shel and Shel Rosh, another bracha gets added onto the mix. We're not sure whether that other bracha is a second bracha or a third bracha. So it's fine. Ashkenazim, Gagra, a lot of different conclusions about this. But the bottom line is that talking between Shel and Shel Rosh will impact brachas. And then the Braisa continues, and the eighth Ram comes, Tana Sachman Tvila very beyond the Khazla Mechamachama. If a person did talk, so it's wrong, it's an Aveira, and if he's on the battlefront, if he's going out to war, that's considered to be an Aveir Miya Yare, Viracha Leva, Yelech Vyashul Veso. So he has to go back Miyachem Machama. Why? Out of all the terrible Aveiras you could do, Chazal picked up that one. So we spoke about this in Drush already several times over the last 15 years, so maybe another time, another place, but I'll call upon him. You're not supposed to be talking between the Shayan and Shay Rosh, and if you do, you may have to make another bracha. So the Rosh, back to the Rosh of Sachem now, the ninth in the Ramakam. V'yeshayimim, she'ein levoidek l'dabret she'yigmuru abedika. For some Hashem will say that the person who's doing b'dikas chametz has to be very, very careful not to talk until he finishes the b'dikas chametz. Why? So clearly, they're comparing it to the Gemara Menachas, the same way that you don't talk till you finish Hanachas Tefillin. You shouldn't talk until you finish b'dikas chametz. Yesh Masifin, there are those who go one step further and say, Yesh Masifin, if you talk with Verm Diyam, if you had to talk to find out, you know, talk about, you need your battery in the flashlight died. So you say, get there, kids, quickly, give me a flag, give me a battery, and you know the battery. Or let's say, you know, you're having some, you don't remember who was supposed to check the car, so you say, quick, who's supposed to do B'dika's coming? So you have to talk about it, then you have a Dika, that's not called a Hefzik. But if you stop schmoozing in the middle, they take a phone call in the middle of B'dikas Chametz and I'm schmoozing. So some Rishonim say that Shetzarech L'Achsel L'Varch. So you have to go back and make another bracha. So clearly these Rishonim, which is quoting right out of the Gemara Menachos, they were comparing talking during the brachas and tefillin to talking during B'dikas Chametz. The Chozeh Ein Nirali, Zok the Rosh, none of this is right. Says the Rosh, none of this seems to make sense. Why? El Yesh Li Zoher Shlo Yasich. You should be careful not to talk. You should be careful not to talk between the bracha and the beginning of the bedika. That makes sense. Once you start the bedika, you can talk whatever you want. Why? When you make a leshiva sukkah, you don't talk the whole meal. You don't talk for the whole meal. You spoke a little bit about in shul tonight about making it alchil as matzah and keeping quiet for a certain point in the seder. So we never find that a sikha is a hefsek. It's only by tefillin. And then the Rosh goes on to elaborate about why tefillin is different. And a lot of lumpness why tefillin is different. We leave out the tefillin part of the sugya for now. Says the Rosh, the model of not talking and talking being a hefsek, gomor, and the requirement of the bracha, that's not true. If you look at the third line from the bottom, the Rosh says, the end of the line, but the right thing to do, says the Rosh, is the chetchil, you shouldn't talk. Not because the talking is a davar matzik, but rather, if you're going to be schmoozing and having a conversation with somebody, you're going to do a terrible job of b'dikas chametz. So to make sure that you pay attention to what you're doing, don't talk. So it's a great idea. But what the Rosh is basically saying is that the first group of Rishonim are not right. But there is no such halacha. It's not like tefillin where the talking can potentially justify another bracha. La halacha, so the poskim say one really should not be talking during the entire B'dikas Chametz for two reasons. Number one, because of the realistic concern of the Rosh, you may not do a good job. So that is one reason why it's important not to talk. And number two, since there was some Rishonim who say that the talking could potentially ruin it and require another bracha, but therefore, a minig should be, but one is not really supposed to talk. From the time you begin B'dikas Chametz, the Boidek, whoever's doing the B'dika, should not be talking throughout the entire Bedikas Chametz, unless something in Yom Diyah, if something comes up related to the Bedik itself, so that's not considered to be a B.A.S. So we're all ready to roll with that bracha. We know when we're making the bracha, we know who's making the bracha, we're talking in the bracha. But in the Gemara, we only find one bracha being recited. The bracha is the bracha of Abiyah Chametz. Again, we had a little bit of a problem why it's Abiyah, not Bedika, but Lemaisa, that's the only bracha that's being mentioned in Chazal. And yet, there seems to be another bracha that would have been apropos. That's the bracha of Shechiyanu. Why would we not make Shechiyanu? What happened to Shechiyanu? I haven't done Bedikas Chametz in a year. So what's the difference between Lishma Kol Shofar? I didn't do in a year, so I make Shechiyanu. Amitilus Lulav, Leishi Besuka. A lot of mitzvahs. When you don't do a mitzvah, Mizman Lizman, so you make a new bracha. So what happened to the bracha? Why is there no Shechiyanu at the time of Bedikas Chametz? So in the 10th of the Maamar Kamos, so Nagos Maimon quotes one of the Gaonim, V'chei b'Bedikas Chametz nitzu b'sharei Rav Shmuel ben Chofni HaKoyin. One of the Gaonim was Rav Shmuel ben Chofni Goyin. You can check the history on this. I think this was Rav Shmuel Goyin's father-in-law. I'm not mistaken. Shmuel Goyin was the father of Haigon. Anyone's checking on Google can let me know later. I think it was his father-in-law, but I'm not 100% sure. So Rav Shmuel ben Chofni Goyin, said, Sheyesh davar Shechiyanu. He says, you should say Shechiyanu. I think Gemara doesn't say it. You figure it out on your own. It says Shmuel ben Chofni Goyin that you should recite Shechiyanu. It's appropriate to make Shechiyanu at the time of Bedikas Chametz. Says the Ghost Maimon. The Ghost Maimon was written by a Talmud of the Maamar Rutenberg. He was a contemporary of the Rosh. The Maamar Rutenberg had some very, very famous Talmidim. The Rosh was a famous Talmud. The Mordechai was a famous Talmud. The Ghost Maimon was a famous Talmud. Many, many famous Talmidim. So the Ghost Maimon is writing in the Ashkenazi tradition. He says, this is not our minhag. He said, in Ashkenazi, we've never heard of such a thing of reciting a Shechiyanu. So even though in the days of the Gaonim, at least from Shmuel, Chofni Goyin used to make a Shechiyanu at the time of Bedikas Chametz, the Maisa Amnidik is not to do this. And the question is, so Takawana, that's good kasha. Why don't we recite Shechiyanu? So the Ritva on the 11th of the Maamar Kamos gives you a whole shekel, a whole array of different reasons, each one with its own nuance and lomdus. Why there's no Shechiyanu? It says the Ritva, my Mevarach, umay de lo ikvu zman, yesh beforshim, mishum de lo kviya le zman. So the first group of Rishonim say, you can't say Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'kiyamanu lazman hazeh, because there's no real zman kavua for Bedikas Chametz. Not like Kiyas Shofar. Everybody's getting up at the same time and blowing the shofar. The sukkahs, everyone's shaking a little bit at the same time. That's a lazman hazeh. By Bedikas Chametz, it's a half a klais all doing it at different times. Sherei ha-mefarsh v'yotze b'sheyara bodek v'karim l'chein. The guy who's going on a trip, so he did Bedikas Chametz already last week. Umi shelo bodek v'yadalet. The guy who forgot to do Bedikas Chametz on Yadalet. Bodek v'sechamoyim. So he does Bedikas Chametz on Yom Tovah. I mean, on Yom Tovah, Chol HaMoed. Normally, if a guy forgot to hear Shofar Rosh Hashanah, so it's game's over, come back next year. Forgot to shake a lulav, come back next year. The guy forgot to do Bedikas Chametz on Yadalet. Big deal. Some kind of you remember, third year Chol HaMoed. So start to do Bedikas Chametz. All the Achramoyim is a big machlekes of Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that if you forgot to do Bedikas Chametz and you remember the week after Pesach, you could do Bedikas Chametz also because of the Yisuf Chametz of Lava Pesach. So the Ritva quotes the Yesh Omer, Yesh Mefarshim, that there are so many multiple times for the mitzvah. It's the same mitzvah, it's a million different times. So therefore, there's no brach whatsoever. Well, I have to understand that. So there's another mitzvah that wasn't there all that long ago that also has multiple times. It's the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. So Kriyas HaMegillah, there's Yidalah, and there's Tezvav. This year, it turned out to be Tezvav Lehem and Yidalah for quirk reasons. There's HaKfar Magdimim Yom HaKenisa, the first Mishnah Megillah, the days when, in the olden days, so the villages used to lay on Mondays and Thursdays, 3-4 days before Purim. So Zmanim Har, Bizmanayim, the Gemara says, the first Sukkah Megillah Dabeis, Zmanim Har, V'tiknu Lehem. And the Gemara says in Megillah, you do make Shechiyanu Megillah Zman HaZeh. So what does it mean? Just because there are multiple times doing the same mitzvah, why is that a Chisorin Zman? The Ritva Zal Kosov, the reason why the Chidush HaRitva strangely always quotes the, according to Shmuel, was the father of Haigon I made a mistake. Okay, I see the message. Okay, all right, correct that one. Rav Haigron's, okay. It's still the same mishpacha, because Rav Haigron was the son of a Shrigron. So he was a Shrigron's mechutin instead of his father in law. But so the reason why the Chiddush Ritva and Tzachim, strangely enough, quotes the Ritva by name is because the Chiddush were written by the Tamidim. So they quote, when they quote something explicitly from the Rebbe, so they it's a little bit of a strange style of writing. The Chiddush Ritva Tzachim, those who are familiar with the Ritva style and other Masechtas, so the style of Ritva Tzachim is legamri different from regular Ritva style because it's written by different people. So Ritva Tzachim calls it the Ein Tam Zeh Mechuvar. So the Ritva himself didn't like this first reason. He didn't think this was correct. Maybe he was bothered with the cash from Purim, I'm not sure. Because of B'Shem Ra'azal, so the real reasons of the Ritva is that B'Shabiyah Chavit to Inyan Ha'asav Ya'mutamah Ve'isim Ha'mayinai Ve'ino Inyan Shal Hanah Lo Tiknu Zman Ki Lo Matzinu Zman El Adover Shal Hanah. So comes the Ritva, in the name of the Ra'ad, is a fascinating reason. He says, you know why there's no Zman, because you only recite Zman on mitzvahs which have hanah to them, which are enjoyable kinds of mitzvahs. B'digas chametz, no one's happy about B'digas chametz. I have all these great chametz, I have these gewaltig pizzas and cookies and cakes and donuts. After all, throw it in the garden, I have to burn it. So no one's too happy at the time of B'digas chametz. It's killing my mind. It's in my mind. What are you going to do? The Torah said, you got to do it. Malachas, you got to do it. But no one's thrilled about it. So the Ra'ah is a big chiddush. The Ra'ah says only mitzvahs that are very happy mitzvahs warrant the shechiyon. Where did the Ra'ah get this from? So this is the answer, an age-old kash. It's a famous kash that all the Rishonim bother with. Some mitzvahs do get shechiyon, other mitzvahs don't. But we find in Chazal, some yes, some no. So there's a big machlokes Rishonim, what the answer to that question is. Why some yes, some no? So the Baal Amor, in the very end of Maseches Pesachim, says, the only mitzvahs that get shechiyon are the happy mitzvahs. Any mitzvahs that people are sad about doing don't get shechina. That's why there's no shechina for Sfiras Oyim, says the Baal Amor. Because Sfiras Oyim is manazeh, zeich lemikdash, it's nobody's a mikdash. So when you count Sfira, you give a krecht. No, nobody too excited, not too happy about counting Sfira. Some mitzvahs are really, really happy. Shofars are thrilled, they're so excited. They can mala zichronei, the lavinish yishamayim, and megillahs, Purim, and there's Chanukah, and Sukkah, and Lulav. These are happy, happy mitzvahs. It's almost a sad mitzvah. B'digas Chometz is a sad mitzvah. And therefore, there's no shechiyon. So it's interesting that this answer about sad versus happy is called the name of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah, you can check just those who checked Google before on the other one, another Google assignment. The Ra'ah was a descendant of the Baal Amor. Rose of Aaron Halevi. The Baal Amor was Rav Zerachi Halevi. I don't remember how many generations it were between them, but that's probably about just a guess. They were always ready the next generation after the Ramban, and the Ramban was ready after the Baal Amor. So I guess about close to 100 years between the two. Anyone's got any info on that one? No, not yet. Okay, checking it out. Okay, keep us posted. So then the Ritva continues. V'yesh v'kam shenogel v'yomro. So he says there are some who taka do. The Rav Shmuel Vinchas from Aaron Halevi was born in Girona, Catalonia, present day Spain, to his father, Rabbi. Okay, so the Ra'ah was in 1235, and when was the Rav Mizrachi Halevi? We got that, the Baal Amor. Let's get the dates on that one. No, we're waiting. Someone's coming through with it. Okay, keep me posted with it. So comes the Ritva says some places do say shechiyon, but pichin ain levatim and hagan, they don't have to change their minig, but that's not a minig. So we have machlokes b'shanim. Either you do actually say shechiyon b'shas b'digas chometz, or you don't, because b'digas chometz is not a kind of a mitzvah that gets shechiyon. And then there's a third pshat. The third pshat is almost a combination of the two, that b'digas chometz is a mitzvah that warrants shechiyon. You taka should say shechiyon, but you don't. Why don't you? Because it's covered by the Shechion of the Seder. That's what the Rush writes. A Rush thou calls them, the Ritva calls them the Rush. The Havlo of Rachid and Alei Shechion, Afagav, the Bob is well as none. It's an annual mitzvah, whether you're happy or not happy, you're thrilled, you're miserable, whatever. It's an annual mitzvah, warrants a Shechion. Nirali came with the mitzvah of Ein Eletzorech HaRegel. The whole goal of the Biyah Chomets is to get the Chomets out of the house for Yontif. The Sakhar Abayis, Levar HaChomets B'toicha, Eletzorech HaMoyi, Samchinen La Azman the Regel. So you can rely on the Shechianu of the Leila Seder. When you make Shechianu by Kiddush, by the Leila Seder, it's going on the Yomtiv, going on the Matzah, going on the Mar, going on all the mitzvahs of Leila, all the mitzvahs of Yomtiv, including the B'dikas Chametz of the night before. So where do we have such a precedent that the Shechianu really should have been done 24 hours earlier? But Alpha B'chel, and we stick it into the Yomtiv Shechianu. So says the Ridvach, one from the Rosh, is a fair Shigwan Sukkah. The Gemara says in Sukkah Me'ikir Adin, when you build a Sukkah, you should make Shechianu. When you tie a lulav together, prepare an Arviyat, you should make Shechianu. The Gemara says that's the Ikir Adin. But you know what? Nevertheless, the Gemara says if you want to rely on the Shechianu of Kiddush, Zalzayin, that's also okay. And that's, of course, what we do. So the Rosh gives that Moshe, that Din, in the same way that we should have said Shechianu 3 days ago when we built the Sukkah. We should have said Shechianu 3 hours ago when we put out lulav together in the afternoon. No, everything is all shame, the further time. The lulav is a little bit different. Lulav is actually not covered by the Shechianu of the Yontif in the real sense, because it's a little bit of a problem, because it gets a little bit complicated about the lulav. Lulav, maybe if the push is well for next year, maybe Shabbat Shuvah drop, we'll figure it out. But the lulav gets a little bit of a quirk, the difference between the lulav and the sukkah. But at least in terms of the sukkah, so it's easy, that's a b'chilu azman derega. We make a Shechianu on the Yontif, and that Yontif carries over for all the preparations from before as well. So the Rosh says the same is true when it comes to the Bia Chometz, the Bdikas Chometz. That Bdikas Chometz should have had a bracha. Not like the Ra'ah that says it doesn't get a bracha. It should have had a bracha. Shmuel ben Chofni is right. It should have had a bracha. But unlike Rosh Shmuel ben Chofni, Taka said a bracha when he did Bdikas Chometz. So Aminig is not that way. Aminig is like the Rosh, that we rely on the Shechianu of the Leil HaSeder. So the Shechianu of Bdikas Chometz is kind of the Eva cannot get the Ben Rias. Zrachi Alevi was called the Ra'ah. Balamor, when did he live? We know, I don't see it in the chat. I don't see the year. Okay.
1115
to 1186. And the other one was, and the Ra'ah was 1235. So 100 plus years between a couple of generations. Okay. So basically, I just thought we would, as we hit our Kedah B'Kedah, we always end off with a little bit of the drush. So we'll try to just complete a little bit of the Sig, a little bit of drush as well. So we saw a fascinating insight from at least from some of the Rishonim, that B'dikas Chometz is almost like a negative. I mean, we saw, according to some Rishonim, it's so negative that if you don't make Shechianu, but why don't we talk about that? It's negative in the sense of, it's really there to avoid problems. We're doing B'dikas Chometz to prevent Isurim. That's the goal. I don't want to own Chometz by Rabbi Matzah. I don't want to eat Chometz, Shem Yavali Yochlo. But the real mindset is B'dikas Chometz almost falls into that category of Allah of Lava and Isurim, their Isis, their abundance, etc. And yet a strange thing happened. So hocus pocus by magic, Chazal turned an Isser into a mitzvah. Chazal turned the Isser of by Rabbi Matzah into something that's a gevalga mitzvah essay. The same way they transformed a gezeira of tumah of truma into a mitzvah essay with the rabbanon called it Tosedayim. And according to some Rishonim, not just a mitzvah essay, but a very exciting mitzvah essay. The Taka gets a Shechianu. Either literally gets Shechianu, or could have had a Shechianu, it's covered by the other Shechianu. So that's quite a feat. Make something that's fundamentally Surim and put a positive spin on it. So they say, I think that this goes way beyond the intricacies of B'dikas Chometz and a bracha, not a bracha. This speaks to the Avoid of these days. Avoidah Zayis Lachem. We know the famous question of the Russian, Avoidah Zayis Lachem. And what's so wrong with this question? That's what the Chumash says. He's right. All the Mepharshim focus on the Avoda. He didn't mean the Avoda Vedas and Kabbalahs. He meant Avoda like snickering, like it's hard, it's a pain in the neck, what a hassle. Get ready for Pesach, come on. Avoda Zayis Lachem. He looked at Yiddishkeit as a tircha, as a tirda. The answer is, that mindset is Avodas HaKarbonos is also called an Avodah. Avodas Tefillah is an Avodah. Avodah Shebelev, Avodah Shebemikdash. It's called an Avodah, not because it's hard and bad and negative. It's an Avodah. It's a labor of love, as the phrase goes. It's taking something that's You're right. The reason why we spend so much time cleaning our houses for Pesach is not to violate Yisurim. We don't want to violate Ramatzeh. We don't want to violate Ksher Shemir Lachlech. So we work hard and we clean up and we work and we work and we kasher our kitchen and we work really hard and we go shopping and we do a lot of things and we're careful what we buy and we don't buy. So much work. Shalalavar Yisurim. That's right. It's fundamentally Shalalavar Yisurim. The mitzvahs of Esiyah Pesach don't have that much preparated matzah. Most of us are buying matzah, some of us are baking matzah. There's not that much preparations. But most and the room of the time and sweat that we're putting into getting ready for Pesach is to avoid Isurim. So a person could potentially have the attitude is it's such a negative religion. Everything is just no, bad. Everything is negative. And what do? We say to that little tiny voice of the Russia inside our hearts that Ramartim Zevach Pesach Hashem. This is not an avoda in a negative sense. This is Zevach Pesach Hashem. This is Gevaldik. There's no greater simcha than being able to sit down to the Seder and say, I'm not violating by Rabbi Matzai. There's no greater simcha than to burn the chametz. I'm not violating. I'm not going to eat the chametz. There's no greater simcha than that. This ability to transform what some people mistakenly view as negativity into positive force. This is not just the message of the bracha. This is not just the message of Dikas Chametz is the message of life. Be able to take the negatives and the difficulties and the stresses and the challenges and the obstacles and the disappointments and put a positive spin on them. Wow. That's what Martin's real Pesach Gosha. But I say, we've all experienced throughout life, everyone has experiences of challenges and obstacles and things don't always go the way we anticipated. And of course, in this parasha that we're in, COVID feels like it's not just a double parasha already. It's more like the parashas that we made up for all the farm and a half of parashas that we made up in the summer. So this parasha is definitely significantly longer than anyone in the wildest dreams expected. Such a chiddush last year to say the Shabbos Hagadol drasha on Zoom. Now it's like that's what we do. Shabbos Hagadol, Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos Hagadol. Hopefully I can. I give a hope and pray. Everyone should be well in the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha to be everyone at Mikdash. Shabbos Shuvah Drasha should be punim upon him, literally. Hopefully well before Shabbos Shuvah. We should get back to the full-fledged punim upon him. But yes, it's been challenging. And yes, there are still challenges. And there are still obstacles. There are still disappointments. And things are not, with Baruch Hashem, with all the improvements, and there have been many, many improvements, and there's a lot of positive air, a lot of positive spirit in the air, and there are good things to look forward to. And many of us are going to be able to have all of us are going to have a different Pesach Mitzvah than last year. We're going to have a little bit more and a little bit more chance to our family and a little bit more the shuls and a lot of things that we really, really, all those things that we didn't have at all of last year. So Baruch Hashem, Chasdi Hashem, for the chesed that he continues to perform for us, that's definitely in place. On the other hand, there's still a little bit of a disappointment in the air, and people are still, cracking a little bit, and there's still a little, there are obstacles, there's still challenges. Things are not quite, where we were kind of hoping or dreaming where they would be at this point. So hang in a little bit more, but let's put the positive spin on them. Let's instead of focusing on the fact that Nebuch was still davening in shuls with masks and in 15-minute minyanim. Let's put the positive spin on Baruch Hashem davening in shuls. Baruch Hashem able to go to shul and we have to have shiurim. Although for logistical reasons, the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha was a little bit easier this way than live. Baruch Hashem, there still are live shiurim and there still is live. We made a Torah going on in the shul. And Baruch Hashem, the davening is beautiful and the yontif davening and we hope the singing will continue, and hopefully we will remain. Things will only get better in terms of our approach to this parasha. So, Mitzvah Shem, I'm looking forward to a beautiful, wonderful yontif together, the family, together, the community. And we should positive it. The bracha of the Yitzchak Chaim should teach us the message for life. Just focus on the positive, focus on the good. There's so much good, so much to be happy for. This bracha should give us the Yad Nishmaya. That should be a beautiful, wonderful time of a yontif, and should be really, really as my geula from the tzaras beprat, and so a geula from the tzaras bechlal, and a geula, the ultimate geula, sheyivana b'samikdash, we should be zoicha together, we should be zoicha to little in this Pesach, we should be zoicha to makos and karon Pesach, on Shabbos, erfesh chas b'Shabbos, and to Nechal Sham, whether you want to say Mitzvachim, Rapsachim, Sachim, Mitzvachim, that's your choice, but we should be zeichet to eat both of them, and Mitzvah Shem, Bekar, Mamish, and wish everybody, many of you will see it the next couple of days, for those who I don't see, so wish everybody Chag Chashm Sameach, and
Shavua Tov.